Part 1. Chapter 1.
Let's forget all this fourth wall bullshit and get to the point. You're the listener, and I know you're there. We're supposed to pretend like neither of us exist, but if you're going to trust me, we can't start this off with our backs facing each other. My name is Adam, and I want you to look right into my eyes. This isn't going to be a one-way exchange. No, sir. It's not fair to me, it's not fair to Niff, and it's not fair to you. I'm here, you're here, and this is what really fucking happened the day they nuked Tucson. Niff and I were there. We saw it begin. You may think you know what happened. You watch the news, follow the internet, and maybe you read that dumb book by the guy who wasn't even there, and that gave you this feeling like you know what went down firsthand. But you don't know. You can't know. Unless you were there too, you don't know shit. So, here's the scene. We're in a small arena. It's a roller derby bout. Tons of people, but the only important characters right now are me, my wife, Niff, and her cousin, Cece.
What is that?
Asked Cece. She sat next to Niff and me in the stands, and she'd been staring hard at something for a while, her clove cigarette clinging dangerously to her bottom lip. I watched the cigarette, counting down to the inevitable dive of ash straight into the hair of one of the Let's Be Edgy and Go to the Roller Derby sorority girls sitting in front of us. Cece was a sturdy, box-shaped girl, a roller derby queen on and off the rink. Her derby name was Peaches and Scream, and everybody called her Peaches. Only me and Niff called her by her real name. About a month before Cece's leg was busted in two places in a spectacular skates-overhead collision with the jammer for the Demon City Sallies, she now sported one of those casts that made her walk like a mummy. It forced a temporary vacation from roller derby. But my wife's cousin never missed a bout, and she wore that cast like a heavyweight championship belt. Cece stood heavily.
I'm gonna go check it out.
She clomped her way down the stands toward whatever had caught her attention below. I looked at the ponytail in front of Niff and me. Not a single ash had fallen on the girl's head. I glanced to where Cece headed, but I didn't see anything. Damn, I said.
What?
Niff asked. I nodded toward the stairs. Your cousin is all worked up about something.
What else is new?
Niff said, twisting in her seat. She scratched her arm. My wife seemed more distracted than usual tonight. On stage, another scene played out. The halftime band, a local punk group, couldn't get the PA system to work. Feedback blared, and the crowd booed and threw cups at the bewildered band. This was the first time I had seen them, and I could tell they weren't used to the surly crowds.
I almost feel sorry for them,
Niff said, scratching some more at her arm. What's their name again? I asked. They all wore t-shirts with something handwritten on them, but I couldn't tell what they said from where we sat. The first word started with a P, the second a V.
It doesn't matter. You won't remember.
A scream perforated the stadium. Just like that. A scream, and the world changed forever. This was a scream unlike anything I had ever heard. I thought maybe it was a cat at first. This was an unforgettable scream, high-pitched and piercing, sounding amplified even though it wasn't. One of those sounds that causes every person who hears it to stop and look with dread. I stopped. I looked with dread. It wasn't a cat. I hadn't seen where Cece went, but I saw her now. She stumbled backward on the track, tripping onto her ass, clawing at her face as she screamed. Her cast boomed when it hit the floor. She had something wrapped around her neck and on her head like a mask. The pink and fleshy thing pulsated, a blob of living silly putty. As we watched, the pink color grew brighter, matching Cece's bomber's jersey. The mask grew, covering more of her face. She screamed again, and a tendril of the blob snaked its way into her mouth, cutting her scream off cold. This was not a typical halftime prank. Holy shit, no. Something was wrong. Cece rolled onto her stomach and twitched, the mass growing over the top of her head and down her back, covering the peaches on her jersey until the whole top half of her body disappeared. The ponytail and her friends screamed. They ran, falling over themselves.
"The hell?"
I said, jumping to my feet. Niff and I looked at each other. We both ran toward Cece. Half the crowd rushed toward her, the other half away, and the crush caught us. I reached and grabbed Niff's skinny wrist, holding her close to me, and she wrapped her other arm around my waist, swearing at everyone, screaming for them to get the hell away. Through the crowd, I watched as a girl, pandemonium, a pivot, and the captain for the Punky Bruisers, grabbed Cece's good leg. The moment she did, her body went rigid, like a goddamned Medusa statue. She fell to the ground, her hand still clamped on Cece's ankle. Other roller derby girls crashed into pandemonium, and when any of them came into contact with her, they also froze. In a matter of 5 seconds, a glob of 30 people formed on the track and spilled over into the sidelines. The moment anyone touched the group, even through clothes, they became a part of it, frozen in place. I stopped dead. Still on the bleachers, I pulled Niff back.
"Don't get any closer!"
I yelled over the screams.
"What the hell?"
she said, trying to pull away.
"She's my cousin, Adam."
She didn't yet see what was going on, but Minnie had, and the fearful and confused now surged away from the track and toward the exit. I watched as the band's bass player fell to the ground. He kicked at a trapped girl near him. As he scrambled away, his foot slipped and his ankle became attached to her neck. Bandmates tried to pull him away, only to be caught themselves. Soon, a chain of bodies snaked across the track and into the middle of the center stage, with a dog pile around where Cece fell. By now, enough people had cleared away that Niff could see what was happening. Everyone continued to stream out of the small arena, and in the distance, a police siren wailed.
"We gotta find a way to get to her,"
Niff said, pulling toward the track. I couldn't see Cece anymore under the pile of motionless people.
"No,"
I said.
"We don't know what's going on. The police are coming."
Niff was only 5 feet tall. She weighed 95 pounds, if that. I should have been able to hold on to her. If I had been stronger, if I had used both of my damn hands, if I had been more insistent and kept her away, you wouldn't be listening to this right now. Everything would have been different. I would have pulled her out of that building. I would have gotten us into our car and driven away. But that's not what happened. I wish more than anything in the world it was. She twisted out of my grip, and she got away from me. She bounded down the stands toward her cousin.